You're tuned to WFHB.
Volunteer powered,
listener supported.
Community radio for South Central Indiana.
Good afternoon. Reporting remotely for WFHB, this is Benedict Jones.
And I'm Cade Young. This is the WFHB local news for Thursday, August 5th, 2021.
Later in the program, human rights activist Vox Booker condemned felony charges against him related to a racist incident at Lake Monroe over 1 year ago. More on that in today's headlines.
Also coming up in the next half hour, the Bloomington City Council presented ordinances for the annexation of eight areas in Monroe County. During the meeting, several county residents spoke out against the city's proposed annexation of roughly 10,000 acres of county land. More in today's headlines. But first, your local news brief.
From WFHB, this is your local news brief for Thursday, August 5th. I'm Katrine Bruner. In an effort to reduce the still ongoing spread of the COVID-19 virus, Monroe County will begin requiring face masks for all residents, regardless of vaccination status, while inside public spaces. The order began today at 8 a.m. and will last until September 30th, where it will either be repealed or extended. The order was approved Wednesday by the Monroe County Board of Commissioners on a 3-0 vote. All businesses and places open to the public must also post signage at front entrances stating that face masks are required. Monroe County Health Department Administrator Penny Cottle explained that the state is acting now before they become an orange or red status state, and added that the Delta variant, which is more contagious, is a big factor this time. Exemptions for the requirement were listed by the county, which includes children 2 and under, those hearing or speaking impaired, people who are incarcerated, and those sitting down at a restaurant or bar. Updated today by the New York Times, Monroe County is showing 20 cases per day right now, which is an 82% increase from 2 weeks ago. Only 52% of the county is fully vaccinated. Patients hospitalized by COVID-19 have increased by 59% since 2 weeks ago, and there have been 2 deaths in the last 2 weeks. The Monroe County Community School Corporation welcomed back students in person yesterday. MCCSC elementary schools had open houses on Tuesday, with an online option as well for virtual students by choice. The corporation has information posted on their, quote, COVID-19 reentry plan adjustments for 2021 to 2022, end quote. However, these recommendations may be subject to change. No direct statements have been made yet to the public on the MCCSC's response to the mask order. Governor Eric Holcomb made an announcement back in March of this year that he expected Indiana schools to return to full-time in-person teaching in the fall. The body of a 29-year-old man from Plainfield was recovered Tuesday evening from Lake Monroe. Ambachu Nagatu went missing after swimming with family members off Fairfax Beach, according to a news release from the Indiana Department of Natural Resources. 911 received a call at 5:40 p.m. After the call, Indiana conservation officers, the Monroe County Sheriff's Office, and the IU Hospital Bloomington EMS responded. Nagatu's body was found at 6:50 p.m. in 6 feet of water. He was unresponsive and pronounced dead at the scene, according to a news release. Both beaches at Fairfax and Paintown had been closed previously due to flooding, but just opened this past Monday. That's all for your Thursday news brief. For WFHB, I'm Katrine Bruner.
The August 4th Bloomington City Council meeting started as a hybrid meeting with several council members attending in person. However, out of respect for the health and safety of attendees, Councilmember Matt Flaherty moved to recess the meeting and pick back up over Zoom. He apologized to those attending in person, saying the City Council could not have changed the meeting without making the motion at the meeting.
Unfortunately, due to the uncertainty of whether Governor Holcomb would extend the declared state of emergency, and due to the long lead time and relatively significant expense of noticing this public hearing on proposed annexation, as well as how it was originally noticed for a hybrid meeting, it was not a viable option to reschedule the meeting to be virtual prior to this motion today. These factors, along with the trajectory of COVID-19 cases in Monroe County, were largely outside the control of this council, and I apologize that it took a couple days of discussion to reach this approach.
The City Council voted unanimously to recess and reconvene for its regular session on Zoom. After the recess, Councilor Jim Sims presented the ordinances for annexation of 8 areas in Monroe County. He talked about the history of the ordinances, which were first presented back in 2017.
This meeting continues annexation proceedings that the City of Bloomington began in 2017. The city's annexation process was put on hold in 2017 as a result of changes in state law and subsequent litigation. The city is now able to resume the annexation process, and the council is now at the public hearing stage of that process. The public hearing is a required part of the annexation process where all interested parties must have the opportunity to testify as to the proposed annexations.
Resident Mark Farrell spoke in opposition of annexation. He argued that residents of Monroe County already support the city in more impactful ways than paying property taxes.
We enjoy what Bloomington has to offer. Paying property taxes is not the only way to show support for a city. We dine at the local restaurants, shop in town, visit the farmers market, attend shows at the BCT, use the parking garage, feed the meters, and go to all the downtown events such as the 4th Street Fair, Lotus Festival, and Canopy of Lights. Many of us work in downtown Bloomington. The mayor reportedly stated that people who live in the city's fringes benefit from the city's success by having access to better retail, restaurants, and entertainment. Perhaps you should consider that part of the success these venues have achieved is because they are frequented by those of us residing on the city's fringe.
Resident Susan Brackney spoke as a representative of Area 4. She said over 70% of homeowners in the area had signed a petition with their intention to remonstrate annexation if it is passed.
71% of the homeowners in Zone 4 have signed petitions indicating that they intend to remonstrate if this ordinance passes. We respectfully request that you vote no on our annexation.
Council members moved to extend the public hearing on annexation into its August 11th meeting. The public is invited to speak starting at the special session, which starts at 6 p.m. on August 11th.
Monroe County Health Administrator Penny Caudill presented a new health order to Monroe County Commissioners at their August 4th meeting. Caudill said the health order would require Monroe County residents to wear masks indoors, regardless of their vaccination status. She said the health order either expires on September 30th or if county COVID-19 numbers drop below a certain threshold.
So this order does have kind of a sunset date of September 30th. So that unless the board comes back and looks at data and decides to extend it or make some changes to it, it would expire then, or it will expire when we are in blue and our cases per 100,000 have fallen below that 50 mark.
Commissioner Julie Thomas pointed out that some residents cannot get the COVID-19 vaccine due to health issues or age. She emphasized that the issue is the coronavirus, not unvaccinated residents.
Our enemy is COVID. It is not mask order, the health order. It is not people who are unvaccinated. There are people who cannot get vaccinated because of their age or their health status. And so, you know, the enemy here is COVID. And we know what we can do to help defeat the enemy. And so please do all you can to do that.
Resident Scott Reynolds suggested that the health order go into effect the morning of August 5th, rather than immediately, to give businesses time to prepare. Commissioner Lee Jones agreed and motioned to amend the effective date to August 5th. Commissioners unanimously approved the health order as amended.
The Monroe County Board of Zoning Appeals continued discussion on requesting variances to the Wiss property. At the August 4th meeting, Senior Planner Tammy Behrman talked about how difficult it has been trying to get additional information from the petitioner. She said the county requested an updated site plan with more details on the ramp the petitioner wants to build.
We have had some difficulties getting the petitioner to submit additional information. So we had requested an updated site plan that showed the driveway and, you know, explained more about this ADA ramp that they were wanting to put in, because obviously from the photos, that does not look accessible down to the ground. We also had requested that they, you know, provide some details of the ramp, like the height and the slope measurements, and then also that septic system document claiming that there are 5 bedrooms for this site in general.
Board member Skip Daly asked for clarification on the decision to build an external ramp. He wondered why the garage wasn't designed for easier access on already ground level doors. Petitioner Evan Wiss explained that the person for whom the ramp was being built became disabled after the design had been finalized.
So she became disabled after this project was started. Otherwise, we would have designed it differently. And, that's on us. We accept the fault there. But, you know, we're still in construction, and we thought this was a good time to do it as any.
Board member Bernie Garretes asked if there was any way to get the upper deck from inside the garage. Petitioner Thomas Wiss said there was not. He argued that his plan to build a small workshop inside the garage would make it too difficult to navigate.
Human rights activist Vox Booker was charged with misdemeanor criminal trespass and battery, resulting in moderate bodily injury in Monroe County Circuit Court on Friday. On July 4th, 2020, Booker said he was physically attacked and had racial slurs yelled at him at Lake Monroe by a group of individuals. The charges against Booker were filed by Special Prosecutor Sonia Learkamp after Monroe County Prosecutor Erica Oliphant recused herself from the case. During a news conference at the Monroe County Courthouse, Booker said he was not surprised that charges were filed against him over a year after the incident.
Once again, there was nothing more American than charging a black man in his own attempted lynching. I wasn't surprised because for the entire year, the special prosecutor has pressured and bullied me at every turn that if I didn't engage with it short of justice, if I didn't let charges be dismissed, that she would charge me. It wasn't out of any new evidence or any shocking revelation. It was simply that once again, I was telling a white person no, and they were going to punish me.
Attorney Catherine Lyle criticized the special prosecutor. She said in 3 decades working as a criminal defense lawyer, she has not seen anything like this.
It is unprecedented. I've been practicing well over 30 years in this state, and I've only done criminal defense my entire career. I have never seen a special prosecutor open a new case and file it against somebody a year later.
Guy Loffman of the Monroe County branch of the NAACP said the latest charges against Booker are, quote, a miscarriage of justice, end quote.
Vox Booker, a black man, was the victim of a vicious hate crime on July 4th, 2020. Years since, the criminal justice system itself has joined in the attack on him. Now it has taken the outrageous step of charging Booker, the victim, as a felon. He faces up to 3.5 years in prison and $15,000 in fines for being subjected to a racist assault. This miscarriage of justice cannot be tolerated.
The incident was captured on video. In July 2020, WFHB News aired the sound from the video taken near Lake Monroe. We warn you, the listener, that the following audio is graphic.
Stop it. Stop. Let him stop. Let them go.
We're just trying to get out of here, guys. We're just trying to get out of here.
Let him go.
Let him go, dude. Let him go. Let him go. Please let him go. Please let him go. We're going to as soon as you let him go. I'm going to. Let him go.
Get your phones out here and go.
Let him
Shake
go.
Shake your head at me.
Let him go.
Get the.
Yeah, I know.
Just like all you were when you came in and invaded us. I know. Just like you guys invaded us.
No one invaded
us. You guys invaded us. We were having a great time and you invaded
us. No one invaded you.
You stupid liberal. That's what you get. Take your on.
I'm fine. Are you okay?
Following the incident, two of the men received felony charges. Sean Purdy and Jerry Cox II were charged with three felonies, which included criminal confinement, battery, and intimidation. At the time, Booker said he suffered a mild concussion, bruising, patches of hair ripped out, and was called racial slurs. Booker says this process has been, quote, humiliating and defeating. He said, quote, for some folks, it was a year ago. For me, it's happened every day, end quote.
Three scholarship and stipend opportunities for student teachers are available for the 2021-22 school year, according to the Indiana Commission for Higher Education. In a press release, the commission says funding is available for Black and Latino students in addition to those who plan to teach in high-needs fields such as math, science, or special education. Allison Keir, Communications and Public Relations Manager for the state's Higher Education Commission, walked through each scholarship and stipend opportunity. She also made note of the deadlines to apply.
So we have one scholarship and two stipends available. The scholarship is the William A. Crawford Minority Teacher Scholarship. It's open to students. We define that minority students defined as Black or Hispanic and Latino individuals who intend to pursue or currently pursuing a course of study that would enable them to teach in an accredited Indiana school. The application deadline for that is August 31st, 2021. The two stipends that we have available, they're both due. The application deadline for both is September 30th of 2021. The first stipend that's available is the Earline S. Rogers Student Teaching Stipend for Minorities. It's available for minority students defined as Black or Hispanic and Latino individuals who plan to participate in student teaching or a school administration internship as part of their degree requirements during the semester they receive the stipend. Priority for that stipend is given to student teaching applicants. And then the second stipend is a student teaching stipend for high needs fields. So that's available to students who plan to teach in special education at any grade level, middle school math, middle school science, high school math, or high school science. And again, the application deadline for both of those stipends is September 30th of this year.
Keir said the commission has undergone an initiative to promote diversity in the educator pipeline. Black or Latino educators made up 6.4% of last year's teaching staff. Meanwhile, about 29% of graduates in 2019 were non-white students. Keir discussed how the commission intends to at least partly address this disparity.
And there is a very wide gap between the graduating students being students of color and then really a lack of representation amongst the teachers. So it is very crucial for the state to develop a teacher pipeline that better reflects the demographic composition of the student body. Multiple studies show that students of color do better academically when they have the opportunity to learn from a teacher of color at some point in their careers. So what's great about the minority teacher scholarship and then the student teaching stipend for minorities is that, you know, for one, these are opportunities that do not need to be repaid, and they go directly to student teachers of color. So really incentivizing them to, you know, keep pursuing the teaching program. But another thing that's great about these opportunities is that they also help to ensure that the teachers stay in Indiana after graduation. All three of these rewards that I mentioned, they require that the recipients agree to apply for teaching positions in Indiana. And if hired, they have to teach in the state for at least 3 years. So they're really helping to get more students of color involved into the teaching profession, but also remain in Indiana after they graduate.
Kira says she hopes these opportunities will make a real life difference for someone who hopes to educate the next generation.
I hope that these scholarships and stipend opportunities provide some financial flexibility for the future generations of student teachers. For some, teachers are evolving, students are evolving, and for many of them, they need a little bit of financial flexibility. So to be able to focus solely on student teaching with maybe a little bit of addition with the stipend or the scholarship, be able to meet their financial needs versus having to student teach and also take on an additional job. It allows them to, you know, really put focus and passion into achieving their degree and a future career in teaching and education.
To apply for any of these scholarship opportunities for student teachers, interested applicants can go to scholartrack.che.in.gov. Kier says in order to apply for all three, you will need to have a FAFSA on file.
Now it's time for your State House Roundup. The end of the 2021 Indiana fiscal year came yesterday with an announcement that $1.1 billion of the surplus will be allocated towards retirement funding and refundable tax credit for the year 2022. State Representative Chris Judy commented on the refundable tax credit saying, quote, "It's pretty unique for a state to send money back to their residents in the form of a tax refund," end quote. The tax credit will be distributed amongst taxpayers when they file their taxes in 2022 next year. The policy for refunding money back to the taxpayers in this format was finalized by the Republicans in the State House in 2011. Governor Eric Holcomb also announced that the additional surplus that isn't being refunded to taxpayers is going toward lowering Indiana's debt in necessary programs. Quote, "Now with our 19th straight balanced budget, we are working on everything from mental health programs and healthcare supports to record increases in K-12 tuition support," end quote. And that's all for your State House Roundup.
You've been listening to the WFHB Local News. Today's headlines were written by Katrine Bruner, Emily McCoy, Kate Young, Robert Robinson, and Jake Jacobson in partnership with CATS, Community Access Television Services.
Our theme music is provided by Mark Bingham and the Social Climbers. For WFHB, I'm Kate Young.
And I'm Benedict Jones. Thanks for supporting Indiana's only volunteer-powered, listener-supported, independent daily news program. You can hear tonight's full broadcast online at WFHB.org.
You can be a part of our award-winning news team. For more information about joining our volunteer team of citizen journalists, email news@WFHB.org.
Stay tuned for Big Talk, coming up next on WFHB.
Listening to the WFHB local news on WFHB Community Radio. Our news is written and reported by volunteers working to provide local news, cover local issues, and strengthen our local community. We invite you to participate. You may submit questions, comments, and story ideas to news@wfhb.org. You can become a WFHB local news volunteer by attending new volunteer orientation. Feel free to check out the WFHB local news archive at WFHB.org to find newscasts, individual stories, and catch a live feed of the WFHB local news. We are local, longer,